I'm now joined by Senator Bernie Sanders, who was elected to the United States Senate in 2006 to represent Vermont after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He's the longest serving independent member of Congress in American history, and he, along with Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal, are currently sponsoring legislation that would end excessive oil speculation, driving up the price of gasoline. You met today with the press conference, I believe, Senator, not just Senator Blumenthal, but also Senator Bill Nelson of Florida joined you, along with the chairman of the Petroleum Marketers Association of America, Michael Greenberger, formerly with the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, and Robert Weisman, president of Public Citizen, Michael Trunzo, president and CEO of the New England Fuel Institute. Give us a brief summary, if you would, Senator Sanders, of what your legislation will offer.
Well, Ian, here is the story. Right now, all across this country, people are paying extremely high prices for gas and for oil. And the theory of why prices in the oil industry are what they are is supposed to have something to do with supply and demand. Less supply, more demand, prices go up. Well, the reality today is that we have, compared to 2 years ago, more supply, less demand, meaning prices should go down. But they have gone up very substantially over the last 2 years. Now, there are a couple of reasons for that. Number one, our friends in the oil industry, ExxonMobil and the other oil giants, continue to gouge the American people. They've made in the last 10 years almost $1 trillion in profits. But there's another element that more and more people are aware of, and that is that today the oil futures market is substantially controlled not by end users, not by people who really buy oil to use in their industry, whether it is the airline industry, whether it is trucking or fuel oil dealers. That the oil futures market is now controlled by Wall Street speculators, whose main purpose in participating in that market is to simply drive prices up, sell, and make huge profits. And according to the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago, they have been doing very, very well in making those profits. So what our legislation does is it establishes oil position limits on speculators, i.e. there will be a limit as to how much oil the speculators can control. We would double speculative margin requirements from 6% to 12%, meaning if they're going to speculate, they have to put up real money. And we would end the exemption currently given to a number of Wall Street firms who are able to appear to be end users, hedgers, rather than the speculators that they are. So those are some of what the bill does.
And in terms of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, we just learned that they're delaying regulations on derivatives. And my understanding is that Commissioner Dunn, appointed as a Democrat by George W. Bush, has been voting with the other Republicans. And I'm not sure that the CTFC is doing its job in this regard. You feel that you have to have legislation to really force their hand? Is that what we're talking
about? Well, obviously, the CFTC is not doing its job. As you've indicated, under the provision in the financial reform bill, the so-called Dodd-Frank bill, Congress required, not asked, but required them by mid-January to establish limits on speculation, on excessive speculation. They haven't done it. A number of us met with Gary Gensler, who's the chairman of the Commodities Future Trading Commission. We met with him a couple of weeks ago, and I found the meeting extremely disappointing. There was no sense of urgency on his part. They are in violation of the law, and they're just going to continue to waddle along and not do what has to be done. So essentially what this legislation does is tell them what has to be done. It will be, in effect, 2 weeks after the bill is signed, and no longer ask them to do it.
Senator Sanders, this surely points out the folly of what the Republicans are actually the mendacity of what the Republicans are suggesting vis-a-vis Elizabeth Warren. They want to take away her powers and turn her into a commission like the Commodities and Futures Trading Commission for the very reason that it's easier to control and frustrate the very mission that the Dodd-Frank bill gave it.
Well, Ian, there are a lot of issues here. I mean, one of them has to do with the fact that the American people are disenchanted with government. Here's a perfect example why. Why? You know, the Dodd-Frank bill was not all that it should have been. In my view, it went nowhere near far enough in cracking down on Wall Street, whose greed and recklessness has caused this recession. In my own view, you got to start breaking up these huge banks. We didn't do that. But there was some good provisions in it, and this was one of them. And it said that by mid-January 2011, you will have language that controls the amount of oil that speculators will have. And they didn't do it. They didn't do it. So, you know, clearly from the Republican perspective, they believe in deregulation. They want to let Wall Street continue to do whatever it wants to do, no matter how disastrous the results. And that mentality, that approach, has led us to where we are today, suffering through the worst recession since the Great Depression, and in the case of oil, allowing Wall Street to control 80% of the oil futures market, driving up oil prices far higher than they should be. Interestingly enough, a few weeks ago, you had the head of Exxon Mobil testifying on Capitol Hill, and he told the senator that he believed that oil prices were 40% higher than supply and demand would require because of speculation. That's the head of Rex Tillerson, the head of Exxon Mobil.
So that's 40 cents on the dollar you pay at the pump.
Probably a little bit different equation. That's for a barrel.
Right, but roughly.
But it would be a substantial increase in what you pay for a gallon of gas.
And you have to add to that the gaming and speculation in food as well.
I mean,
because this commodity, it's called the Goldman Sachs Commodities Index. It's now owned by Standard & Poor's, developed by Goldman Sachs. It's literally a bookie window that allows these people to come in and throw all this money. And one of the ironies is there's a lot of pension fund monies in there. So the very people whose pensions are in there, they're the same people who go to the pump and get gouged.
Yes.
Isn't it crazy?
Yep. But the bottom line here is that this volatility in oil and gas and the high prices that working people have today in my state, you know, there is public transportation is very limited. So for people in a rural state to get to work, it is not uncommon that they have to travel 50 miles. You know, and if your paycheck has been stagnant, or in some cases actually has gone down in recent years, to have to pay, you know, $3.80 or $4 for a gallon of gas really, really hurts because you're struggling right now to keep above water. Furthermore, we worry in cold weather states about what happens in the wintertime for senior citizens who are heating with oil and what high prices will mean to them. So this is a very serious issue, and you're right. It impacts more than just gas and more than just oil per se. It impacts many other sectors of our society, and it is one of the reasons, I think, that has made it that much harder to see some real lift in getting out of this recession.
Well, this is where, isn't this where the rubber meets the road, Senator Sanders, in terms of this economy? And we have the former chief economist in the Reagan administration going public this week in the Financial Times, Larry Summers, saying we have a sick economy and we're facing a lost decade as the Japanese did. And we have not just the oil supplies squeeze and the food supply squeeze that is slowing down the recovery. You've got the Eurozone question about Greek debt. You've got the state and local debt situation. You've got another housing slump. And then you've got a slowdown in Asia with the Chinese growth engine.
Not to mention what's going on in Japan and their economy because of the nuclear disaster.
So somebody's got to step up to the plate here.
And well, here's where we're at. We have got to understand, you know, Summers is right, although ironically he is one of the policy guys who both under Clinton and Obama has helped develop policies that I think have helped create this type of situation. But be that as it may, we have to recognize that we are in a very, very serious economic moment, that the middle class is collapsing, poverty is increasing, and the gap between the very, very rich and everybody else is growing wider. So when we talk about the economics of the moment, ordinary people are hurting, but the people on top and the largest corporations are doing phenomenally well, and that's an issue that has to be addressed. The second issue is that when you talk about the economy and unemployment, please understand that real unemployment is a lot higher than official unemployment. The official unemployment is at 9%. Real unemployment is probably 15 to 16% if you include people who have given up looking for work, people who are working part-time when they want to work full-time. So we got a real disaster on our hands for minorities. The numbers are just off the charts for younger people. Many older workers have lost the jobs they had and have new jobs that are paying substantially less than the jobs they previously had. And we need some bold thinking to get us out of it. And the bold thinking is not the Republican plan to move toward deficit reduction on the backs of the middle class and working families by ending Medicare as we know it or making devastating cuts in Medicaid, education, nutrition programs, etc. I think the bold ideas is to go forward with deficit reduction in a way that is fair, which asks the wealthiest people in this country, whose tax rates are now very, very low, to stop paying their fair share of taxes, and the offshoring of huge amounts of money in the Cayman Islands and Bermuda, where people are avoiding perhaps $100 billion a year in revenue into the United States, and all of the loopholes that enable corporations to make billions in profits and not pay a nickel in taxes, GE among many others, and then at the same time go forward aggressively with a real jobs program, which among other things would include rebuilding our infrastructure, which is in disastrous shape, roads, bridges, public transportation, water systems, transforming our energy system, and dealing with our trade policies, which frankly, in my view, have been a disaster, encouraging companies to move abroad and throw American workers out on the street. So you're right in saying these are very, very, very desperate times. It requires bold thinking, and I'm not sure we're getting it. We're certainly not getting it from our Republicans, who want to get back to Herbert Hoover economics, and I don't think we're quite getting the leadership that we need from the president as well.
Well, just in closing, Senator Sanders, do you think the shot across the bow from Summers, albeit somewhat a discredited figure, nevertheless, the sense of alarm there and the fact that we're completely having the wrong debate? We have a revenue crisis. We don't have a deficit crisis. And this debt ceiling is a completely absurd and extraneous argument. So when are we going to get serious about the serious situation?
But, Ian, you know, you have to understand our Republican friends are serious, and they are doing exactly what their wealthy backers want them to do. And people have got to understand that these are serious people, and they're not crazy. What they want to do is end the concept that government should be there to protect the needs of ordinary Americans.
Ordinary Americans pay their taxes. The rich don't pay their taxes.
Well, I know that, but their job, the Republicans' job, is to protect the rich. I mean, in the midst of the so-called Ryan deficit reduction plan, I know people think that I'm not telling the truth. Just check it out, because it sounds so crazy. After ending Medicare as we know it, which means that the elderly people will get far inferior health care at a much greater cost, after decimating Medicaid, which means that if you have a parent in a nursing home right now, you're going to have to come up with a significant part of that cost that Medicaid is now paying. After devastating environmental protection, nutrition, education, they want to give, over a 10-year period, $1 trillion more in tax breaks for the wealthiest people and the largest corporations.
Tim Pawlenty wants to give more.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy.
But this is so crazy, so off the charts, so far beyond what the American people believe. Every single poll that's been out there in terms of deficit reduction says, first of all, the first issue that people are concerned about is the economy and whether they're going to have a job. Second issue may be deficit reduction. And when you talk about that, what people are saying everywhere is there has to be shared sacrifice. You can't move toward deficit reduction solely on the backs of working families, the sick, the elderly, the children. You've got to ask the wealthy and large corporations to play a role. Republicans don't want them to contribute one nickel. The issue that we're in now, I mean, it's easy to beat up on the Republicans because their position is so absurd, so really incomprehensible. The issue is, will the Democratic leadership and the president stand tall? And we're working very hard to try to get them to simply do what the American people want and say, wait a minute, if we go to deficit reduction, there has to be shared sacrifice. At least half of deficit reduction must require the wealthiest people, large corporations, to start paying their fair share by ending all of the loopholes that currently exist. So that's the fight of the moment, and it's a very, very important fight.
Well, thank you for joining us and letting us know what the fight is about. I appreciate it very much, Senator Sanders.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Senator Bernie Sanders, who's the senator from Vermont. He was elected to the U.S. Senate in 2006. He's after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He is the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history, and he, along with the Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal and Bill Nelson of Florida, held a press conference today to introduce legislation to stop the excessive oil speculations that's driving up the price of gasoline and, incidentally, food as well. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll go to Athens in a moment and fill in a little bit of the picture that I was talking with the senator about, the possibility of Greece defaulting and how much it's already affected the markets here in the United States.